This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is IllegalCurve.com. Saturday Spotlight this week is brought to you by the Winnipeg Blues. Their upcoming 33rd annual fundraising dinner is this Tuesday, November 25th, at Canada Inns Polo Park. For more information on purchasing tickets, check out the Blues website.
The Illegal Curve, Saturday Spotlight.
Our guest this Saturday on the Illegal Curve Saturday Spotlight is 10-time Stanley Cup winner, Hockey Hall of Fame member, legendary Montreal Canadiens player, Yvon Cornoyer. We sat down with Mr. Cornoyer earlier this week. Here is that interview in its entirety.
I want to start looking back at your career growing up in Drummondville, Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that you obviously dreamed of one day being a Montreal Canadian, and what was it like to realize that dream that so many kids around you had?
Well, I think I'm very lucky. You know, anybody who dreams to do something in life and they have a chance to do it all of his life is incredible. I mean, I don't know how many kids who dream to do something and they're so fortunate they can do it. So, you know, hockey was my life, and I think I fell in love with my first pair of skates when my uncle gave me a pair of skates for my birthday. And I think I fell in love with my skate, and I think I keep going forever.
How old were you when you got your first pair?
I was 7 years old.
7 years old. Wow. I started playing hockey when I was 6 or 7 years old. Now, Yvon, you hear so many kids playing when they're 3 or 4 years old. It's almost as if that would be an older age to start.
Well, I don't know if it's that good, because I think skating, it demands a lot of energy. And no matter if you start very young, I don't think you're going to be a bigger skater. It's not when you start. It's often you go and skate during the week, say. Say like you start at 3 and you skate once a week. But you can start a little bit later, and you can skate like 6-7 times a week, and this is where you came a little bit stronger, and you're going to do well.
Why were you such a good skater, Yvon?
I really don't know. I think I always got good legs. I always do sport. I like my favorite second game was baseball.
Okay.
And I play a shortstop, and I really like play baseball. And running, and I don't know, because when I was young, I always was fast, and everybody said I was cheating on my age. I was older than I was supposed to be, they said. But I don't know, I worked hard. I was skating a lot. My father built a rink beside the house, and I think if I can skate every day, I did, I guess, and like I said, I loved the game, and it was nothing to stop me to play it.
Is it true that your legs were so big that your pants had to be tailored to fit your legs?
Well, I always got good legs. I don't know why, but I think sometimes you build that way. And I did a lot of exercise when I was young, and I think I always developed good legs. And I was really fortunate to have my speeds, and this is what, because I'm not very big,
mm-hmm.
So I had to have something that maybe a few people don't have, and that was speed.
And you were known for your shot as well, Yvon, and I read that you used to practice with a heavier-than-normal puck. Is that true?
Yeah, well, my father had a machine shop, and I did my course in the machine shop. If I did play hockey, I would have a place to go and work and maybe have the business after. And one day I went there and cut myself a 10 steel puck, like 16 ounces to between 10 ounces. And I was shooting that all summer, like left, right, back end, left, right, back end. And I think this is why I became to have a good wrist shot.
Well, it's very interesting. We're joined by Yvon Cornoyer in the 7th edition of the Saturday Spotlight. Yvon, who gave you the nickname the Roadrunner?
Oh, I was in New York Saturday afternoon, score a few goals, and after the game, we won the game, and the reporter of Sport Illustrated came in the room, and he said, Ivan, he said, today, he said, geez, nobody could touch you, you are so quick, you are fast, and score a few goals, and so he put on the Sport Illustrated the next day, the Roadrunner scored two goals, and nobody could approach him. So 2 weeks after, go back in New York, and play against New York again, and he came after the game and see me, and I said, well, you know what you did to me? So he looked at me, he said, yeah, I put the Roadrunner, score two goals, and yeah, but I said, no, I got to skate fast the rest of my career. And this is exactly what happened, and I have the name, and the name still today, a lot of people still call me, hey, Roadrunner.
I can remember my dad talking about it all the time. Yvan Cormier joins us on the seventh edition of the Saturday Spotlight. Yvan, you talk about playing in New York, obviously Madison Square Garden, but did anything compare to playing in the Montreal Forum?
Oh, I don't think so. I think the history of the Forum. I think when you get to the Forum, you know, they won so many Stanley Cup before I arrived, and even when I was there, I was very fortunate to win 10 Stanley Cup in 15 years. So, but the Forum was always special. Everybody who played against us, that was a memory game for them. A lot of people say, oh, I played my first game at the Forum, and that was very exceptional. That was unbelievable. I was nervous, and I think. But you know, the original six, I think we had all our history a little bit. If you go like Toronto, Chicago, Detroit, you've got Gordie Howe, Alex Delvecchio, and all those famous players. And you go to Boston, and you have Bobby Orr, and you have Phyllis Pozzetto, and, you know, so especially with the Orioles in the six, I think they were all special rank, but the Forum was something.
You look at the first team that you ever played on, and I looked at the roster. It's an incredible roster, Yvan. Did you sit down in that locker room and look around? Like, was there one player, was it John Beliveau or Henri Richard, who you sat there amongst these players and thought, wow, look where I've come?
I think so. I arrived at the Forum, I was 17 years old. I played for Canadian Junior, mm-hmm. and I retired, I was 35, so I played in the same place all my career. But I remember my first game in Detroit, I was 19 years old when I played my first game. And you know, when you look at Gordie Howe, Delvecchio, I mean, all those guys. And when Toe Blake touched me in my shoulder in the back to go on the ice, I turned around. I said, you sure? You know, but hey, we won the game 7-3. Oh. And I was lucky enough. I always said I had the winning goal. I scored a 7 goal. but what an experience when you're 19 years old and you play in Detroit.
You mentioned Toe Blake, and he was known for being, you know, hard on you in terms of some of the ice time that you received under him. Is that one of those situations, Yvan, where you look back and you say, you know, that paid off, or is it one of those situations you look back and you say, I could have played more?
I could have played more, but, you know, we played three lines, and I was the fifth right winger. And I was doing my job in the power play, and we win Stanley Cup, and we did well. So, you know, I should have thank to Blake, because my first sentiment I had was Jean Béliveau. So, you know, I was worth it to wait and to have Jean as my sentiment. So, and my idol was Gilles Tremblay. And just the way he was skating, it seemed I was such a nice skater. And I was lucky enough to have him in my left wing and Jean in the center. And it ended up to be my first line. So I was very fortunate.
What was it like playing with Jean Béliveau?
Oh, you just close your eyes and and you put your stick on the ice and the puck comes. I mean, you know, Jean was—he was a little bit older when I arrived, but I played with Jean about 6-7 years. So I always said I play with the old guys. I won half of my Stanley Cup with the old guys, and after that, the young guys came like Guy and Larry Robinson and Serge and Lemaire and Ken Dryden. So I was very fortunate to be right in the middle of those two. But Jean Béliveau is, I think he's the only guy I after a goal he scored in Chicago, I went up in the bench and I applaud.
Wow.
He just took Glenn Howell right out of his net. And Jean was a big man those days, and he had a reach, a very long reach, and Jean was so intelligent with the puck, so that was unbelievable.
And you exceeded the 40-goal mark when you played under Claude Rouelle. Did your ice time and opportunity change after Toe Blake left and Claude Rouelle came in? Did he employ a different kind of structure in terms of the lines?
Well, not really. I think I was getting a little bit older and more experienced. But you know, they say I was weak defensively, but I never finished as a minor, minus and plus.
Mm-hmm.
So I always been plus all my career. Every season I play, I was plus player. So I work on that.
It's interesting, and Yvonne, you play the off wing on the right side, right? What was it like for you to play that? Did you like that because of your speed and your shooting ability?
Well, I think for me it's an advantage, especially when you used to play that side when you're left. The only problem sometimes is when you receive the puck, it's on your back end all the time. But mm-hmm. for me, it's like Maurice Richard. He was left wing, he played right winger, and At first, they tried to compare me to Maurice, but I think nobody can compare to Maurice. But I was the same style, and I really like it, especially when we were on their zone. When you cut to the net, I mm-hmm. think you got a better opening. Even the Russian on the power play, they used to switch left, mm-hmm. guys who were shooting left on the right side.
And that's something you see a lot more now in the NHL than you used to.
Well, I think so, because you don't have to stop the puck. You have one timer, and you don't have to stop the puck, and you have a better shot, and it's so much quicker.
Joined by Yvonne Cournier in the 7th edition of the Saturday Spotlight. Yvonne, you talked about kind of playing with the old guys and winning some cups, and then playing with the younger guys. Scotty Bowman coached that team in the 70s. What was the biggest difference between Scotty Bowman and Toe Blake?
Well, I think Scotty Bowman tried to have all his tool to put the player at their maximum. Toe Blake really loved his player. I mean, Toe Blake was really a true father for everybody. He was a hard coach to play for. He demanded a lot, especially when you have a goal against. I think you choose the furthest door when he's behind the bench. Because you don't want to have him behind you right away. You had a goal against, but I think they were both. Don't forget that Toe Blake was alone behind the bench. He had no assistant coach or whatever, and no video and so. But time changed after that, and you know, after you had to start to have some coaching and more coach and more video and. But Scotty, he tried to have the best of every one of the guys.
And Scotty put you on a line with Guy Lafleur and Steve Shutt, Lafleur in the middle and Shutt on the left side. Why did that line work so well?
Well, we did play too long together, but I mean, Guy with his speed and Shutt, you know, I think Steve Shutt should be more recognized what he did. He had like season of almost 50 goals, and I think he's one of the best left wing play for Montreal Canadiens. So I think Steve deserves more thinking and look than he's supposed to have.
And who else did you play with a lot in the 70s, Yvonne, in terms of that made you, you know, succeed, and obviously you helped succeed?
Well, I think Jacques Lemaire and I, we knew exactly what doing on the ice. We knew what one was going to do and the other one too. So I think Jacques Lemaire, I really enjoyed to play with Jacques. And at the end, I played with Pete Maravich. But, you know, I think with Montreal, you used to change line and play with everybody. And when somebody is hurt, you play with him before. And that's what I think we were winning.
And you mentioned Jacques Lemaire, and we're joined by Yvonne Cournier in the 7th edition of Saturday Spotlight. Jacques Lemaire, is he one of those guys, Yvonne, where you said, oh, he's going to be a coach 100%, I know what he's going to be after his career is over?
Well, I don't know if you think that way when he played, but he's very intelligent. Jacques knows the game, and And he was one of the players when I played with him anyway. So Jacques Lemaire was with his shot, and he was really, for a coach, he was an ideal player because he gives the same game all game after game. So he gave his effort all the time, and Jacques Lemaire was a steady player and good on every position.
Yeah, I read a feature article in Roy McGregor's book, and it talked about Guy Lafleur, who you played with and on that line with Steve Shatton and other opportunities, I'm sure. And he talked about, you know, Guy Lafleur's early career with the Montreal Canadiens and how much pressure he felt playing for the team that he grew up idolizing. And you're in that dressing room. How much pressure did he feel? How much pressure did you feel? How much pressure was there being, you know, the team and the players on the biggest team in Canada?
Well, you know, you can take it pressure and you can hate it, but you can take pressure and that's going to help you to win. I find that when you play in Montreal, you have to do your best game after game because everybody play against you at the Forum at the time. They want to beat you. And because they know, then you have a good team. And but pressure, me, I enjoy pressure. I mean, that make me a better player. And you know, the people on the street, they're going to tell you if you play bad or good. But you know, I think sometime we were winning a Stanley Cup to go in St. Catherine Street at the end of the year because we know it's going to be like a million people there waiting for you. So, you know, for me, pressure, I think that was great. But maybe sometime when you're a young kid and you come in Montreal and you're not used to that pressure, I think it's a little bit harder. But I think it's something you have to get used to, and it's going to make you a better hockey player.
What was it like succeeding Henri Richard as captain of the team?
Well, I think that was a great honor. And like I said before, the captain, you know what everybody is going to do on the ice. But I think I room a lot with Jean Béliveau. Jean was my first captain. And I think I learned a lot of Jean on the ice and out of the ice. A captain is good on the ice. You know what he's going to do. But I think a captain is good out of the ice. It's when the team having a hard time, you have to help your coach and get meeting with the guys and talk with the guys. And if somebody's got somebody to say, sometimes you're going to go see your captain and he knows, then you're going to talk to the players or you're going to talk to the management or you're going to talk to somebody. But I think I'm very lucky to be a captain. Those days, the team was not elect a captain. That was the players. So the players were voting, voting for to be the captain, and you arrive in the morning of the practice, and they say, "Okay, this morning we're going to vote for captain."
Wow!
And you know, I was elected by the player, and this is what I like because you know, this year Montreal Canadiens don't have a captain, but I think maybe it's a good thing because they're not sure who they're going to have or who they're going to elect. And like I said, everybody knows what the guy's going to do on the ice. But to be the captain of the Montreal Canadiens, you have to be a good player too, or a good person out of the ice to be able to talk with the guys and they know what they can elect.
Joined by Yvan Cormier on the 7th edition of Saturday Spotlight, looking back at his tremendous hockey career. Yvan, you won 10 Stanley Cups. It's incredible just to say that. I'm sure people have asked you this before, but is there one of those Stanley Cups that stands out for you more than the others?
I think the first Stanley Cup stands out. You know, it's a dream come true. You want to touch the cup. But the first and the nine other, they're very, very nice. I mean, when you win the Stanley Cup, you want to win again. And that's why I think Edmonton win four Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. After Pittsburgh win a few Stanley Cup in a row. Islanders win a few Stanley Cup in a row. After you win, I think it's pretty hard to don't try to win every year. But, you know, I'm very fortunate to win 10 Stanley Cup, but even be able to play in 1972 series.
Mm-hmm.
I was 28 years old, and sometimes you can be like too young or too old when that series arrives. But I was right in my prime, and I think I was really fortunate to have, like you said, 10 Stanley Cup in the 1972 series.
And I want to ask you about the 72 series, but first, you're looking back at your career, Ivan, and looking at your playoff numbers, I mean, I'm not surprised by it based on your career, but also based on your comments saying that, you know, pressure was a good thing. Your playoff numbers were terrific. Did you prepare any different for a playoff game than you would for a regular season game?
Well, a little bit more pressure. A little bit. I used to break a pair of skates just for the playoff. I think playoff was a very important play for the Stanley Cup. And I think every game are very, very special. But I used to break a pair of skates just for the playoff to make sure that I was at my best. And I like playoff. I like it's a men game. And when I won the Conn Smythe in 73, that was funny because that was me or Dennis Hall, I guess. If Chicago would have beat Montreal Canadiens, Dennis Hall would have the Conn Smythe. So I have the winning goal, and we won the Conn Smythe. So during the summer, I went in New York, and they gave me a nice brand-new car. So the next season, knowing Dennis, because I played in 1972 with him, I said to before an exhibition game in a warm-up, I told Dennis, I said, your car is running very well. So we became good friends, and I think I knew Dennis because we played together in 72.
And you mentioned 72. When the series started, Ivan, did you realize how big it would become in history?
Well, we knew that was something different. I don't think we knew it was going to be that big. I think if we were to win easy, I don't think we were talking 43 years after the series again. Mm-hmm. But so many things happened in that series, like, you know, the 7-3 when they beat us at the Forum. Everybody was stunned, and even ourselves, we didn't know what happened, but we thought they were coming here to learn. But I think they were very, very good hockey player, and they were winning a lot of Olympics. So, and they were used to play together than us. That was just an all-star game, and we were not very prepared for it. But I always said the one of the biggest game, I think, was the second game in Toronto. If you were to lose that game, I think it would have been very, very hard to come back because we didn't know how to beat them. But winning that game, okay, we said, okay, we lost the first game 7-3, but winning in Toronto, we said, okay, we can beat them. Now it's ourselves to get ourselves in shape and to get ourselves, because they were playing completely different way than us. And we didn't know their style, we didn't know the way they were playing. And so now we, after a few games, we start to know a little bit more.
You look back at that series, and you, as we mentioned earlier in the interview, and most people know, you won 10 Stanley Cups. Did you ever feel as much pressure in those Stanley Cups games as you did in Game 8 of the Summit Series?
I think so. I think the pressure is always there. I mean, this is why we, in Montreal, I think we have a lot of moment we had to come back. Because if you don't come back, you're going to lose a series, or you're going to lose 72. And I think that the pressure is always there, and then you bail on that, and you became a better player. Because you know, more you come back, more you believe in yourself, you can come back. So I think we had to win. We had no choice. Maybe nobody would have come back if we were to lose.
You know, it's true. In my generation, we hear about that game from our parents, Ivan. And how many times you were lucky enough, or not lucky enough, you were good enough to be on the ice for that goal? How many times have you watched the Paul Henderson goal and the Foster he would call.
You know what? Every time I watch the video of that game, I'm always afraid we're not going to score. It's always at the last minute. But you know what? The good thing about it, we always score.
No, of course, and I mean, everybody in Canada, September 28, 1972 is a day that everybody will remember. Recently, I just want to change over to recently, Guy Lapointe, your former teammate, his number was retired in Montreal. How did that make you feel?
Oh, I was so happy for him. Guy is a guy that everybody loves. I mean, and Guy Lapointe was a very good hockey player. One year he scored 28 goals as a defenseman. So that's a lot of offensive play. And Guy was always steady and a good hockey player and even a better person. Guy was fantastic, and I have mine retire mm-hmm. on 205. Mm-hmm. And I phoned Guy before. I knew a little bit before him then his number would be retired. And I gave him a call, and I said, wait, it's something. Then, you know, I thought for me, I think the Hall of Fame is something then very, very special. But when they retire your sweater, I think it's the ultimate. I mean, you know, all the chirurgery I have, all the stitches and the hard time, the next day you would be willing to start again.
And I was going to ask you about that. 2005, you mentioned your jersey was retired. You watched Guy Lapointe's reaction just recently and the tears kind of flowing from his eyes and his wife and his family. And did that take you back to the moment for you when your number was retired? Not only you feel it for Guy, but you feel it for yourself a bit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, my eyes were not very dry either because I was there and I understand. And, you know, it's so nice when your number... You know how many players who play for Montreal Canadiens? Montreal Canadiens is 100 years old. So you have a lot of players who play for the Montreal Canadiens, and you have a chance to have your sweater on top of the Bell Center. And that's when you're going to not be here anymore, you passed away or whatever, your sweater always going to be there. So it's something then it's incredible, or it is.
I want to ask you this final question, Ivan. This is obviously going to be no personal opinion, but you hear many people talk about the teams and the greatest teams they ever saw, and the 80s Oilers. You mentioned the mid-80s Oilers, the early 80s Islanders, but the 70s Habs are really known by many as the best team of all time. Do you agree with that? And if so, what made you guys just so good?
Well, I think we played together for not 1 or 2 years, but we played together like for 5, 6, 7 years. And we became to be like see the kids growing up from everybody. And I think that the year we lost 10 games, we said, oh, nobody's gonna do that anymore, even ourselves. It's impossible to lose 10 games. And the year after, we lost 8 games. So,
wow.
You know, I think we had a big team, you know. Even said those days that the player was a little bit smaller and not that big. But we had a very, very big team and strong team on every position, like Ken Dryden in the net. And I think that was the best team I ever played for the Montreal Canadiens.
Yvon Cormier, Hockey Hall of Famer, one of the greatest hockey players of all time. Thank you very much for joining us on the 7th edition of the Saturday Spotlight on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
What coming? I'm going to be in Winnipeg the 25th. We're going to raise money for the junior team over there. So if you have a chance to come and see me or whatever, that would be nice.
Absolutely. Point people to that. And we gave away some tickets to that, actually, event on Wednesday, Yvonne. So we're looking forward to it. And we're going to welcome you to Winnipeg. And hope you have safe travels here.
Thank you. Very nice. Talk to you.
You're listening to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Big thank you to Hockey Hall of Famer, Montreal Canadian legend, 10-time Stanley Cup winner, Yvon Cornoyer, for joining us here on The Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Saturday Spotlight. In case you missed any of that, we will have it for you available for download on TSN1290.ca, or you can just subscribe to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes. Get it sent to your iPod each and every week. I'm going to give away a couple tickets to that Blues dinner where Yvonne Cornway is speaking. Stay tuned for that in the second half of the show. When we come back, we're going to start our look at the Winnipeg Jets on the micro level, looking at each individual player and giving them a grade for their performance thus far in the 2014-15 regular season. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We grade the players when we return on TSN 1290.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN 1290.ca.